area of Narcotics Anonymous, and he'll be sharing on the 10th step. Can we please welcome our first
My name is Ralph Beek. I'm a grateful recovered addict.
Hey, Ralph Beek.
First, I'd like to thank God for allowing me to keep a crack pipe out of my mouth, and for that, I'm truly grateful. The 10th step, we continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admit it. For me, I need to take inventory each and every day, so that I don't fall back into the traps. First, let me say that I relapsed in the process a couple times, and I'm glad to have the clean time that I have today. I'm grateful for it. I became, in the past, a super recovering addict, suggestions wasn't meant for me, that was for y'all. I thought that, I could go in crack houses and sell DVDs, CDs, sneakers, and all that. And I did it successfully, but the relapse started way before I picked up the drug. I did it for a while. I ain't going to say I did it successfully. I did it for, maybe 3 months. And then, but the relapse process mentally started when I thought that I could be around unhealthy people and unhealthy environments. So I need to take my personal inventory every day on a daily basis, Make sure that I don't say nothing wrong to someone, myself. Watch my attitudes, ideals, and behaviors, and that's what this program is truly about. I learned that, in this process, after doing the first step, it was a step of awareness. It put me in contact with who I was, Liar, cheat, thief, master of deception, and escape artist, And going back to when I was in the process of recovery, I escaped freedom, from active addiction, because I went back to doing what I always did, And then in the second step, I found out that I had a mind that I couldn't trust, and I need y'all help, people to support me in making needed changes. See, because I thought I had all the answers. I didn't even know the first question in the first step. Can I control my use of any mind-altering or mood-changing chemicals? I would say, no, I can't, but then I'd smoke because I really didn't kind of get in contact with who I was. I know that the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous helped me to measure myself to myself. They eliminate the guilt, the shame, all that it speaks about in the first step on page 19. I don't want to go into all 11 symptoms because y'all, I'm pretty sure some of y'all do know what I'm talking about. Then in the third step, I begin to make decisions based on clarity, allowing a sponsor to guide me, and I begin to know when, I'm thinking, saying, or doing anything that's unhealthy and unproductive. I begin to learn that I can do just more than just know, because I know a whole lot of shit that I do, but I don't do nothing to change it, In this process, I know the first thing I do is I put down the drug, I surrender to the fact that I can't use successfully. Then I surrender to the program. Then I begin to change, I begin to really focus on what I'm doing wrong, what I'm saying wrong, as I said in the beginning, and get in contact with my feelings, it's funny because all this week, an individual was very close to me. I've been saying stuff, and doing crazy stuff, saying stuff to the individual that was, wrong, And then I apologized to the individual. But, a part of me just don't want to be in a committed relationship, because I don't know how to have a committed relationship. I ain't going to say I don't know how to have a committed relationship. I don't know how to have a healthy relationship. And in the process of doing the 12 steps in the past, my sponsor said, I'm not going to tell you not to get in a relationship. I'm going to tell you to do a 9th step before you get in a relationship because you get a chance to see the patterns, your patterns in a relationship by doing the 9th step. And he told me that that's the solution to the 9th step is learning how to have healthy relationships. So what I'm saying is, a lot of times I do some things that I don't want to do, I feel kind of crazy right now, then I got to the 4th step, the 3rd step, and then in the 3rd step, as I said, I learned to make some decisions based on clarity, but I still need y'all help. And in the 4th step, I start to unravel some of the mysteries, I'm going to call it mysteries of my past, things that I thought was my fault, it wasn't my fault, When I was young, I always wanted to be like my father. He was a Mac. He had many different women and many different towns and many different children, I always wanted to be like him. He dressed in fly, he called him fancy, Mac, he had money. And as I got older, my mother was dating this guy, and the guy's niece used to babysit us, and we ended up having sex. I was like 13, she was 14 and a half. And she got pregnant, and when our mother sat down to find out what we're going to do with the baby, they found out that we had the same father. So I never wanted to be like him again, you know. So I stay committed to a relationship. I don't cheat on nobody. But, like, I don't know how to have healthy relationships, you know. Then I get to the fifth step, and I review what I wrote in the fourth step with my sponsor. Then I get to the sixth step, you know. And in the sixth step, we get in touch with some of my character defects, you know. And I'm, like, I go to meetings, and I hear a lot of people sharing. People share, like, you know, at God time, their character defects would, you know, go away. And I know that my character defects ain't going away. I just know that they're arrested, you know. And I know that God can make my character defects magically disappear because he has the power to do all things. But the hit is I got to do some work, you know. So in the seventh step, I stop, you know, acting out on those character defects, and then it becomes a shortcoming, you know. And in the eighth step, I make this list, you know, of all the people that I've harmed, you know. And all I got to do is make the list. And then the ninth step, as I said, I believe the solution is to learn how to have healthy relationships, you know. Everybody makes amends, you know. And, like, one of the most important amends I can make for myself is just to stay committed, you know. So then I get to the tenth step and I continue, you know what I mean, to take this inventory, you know. Like, I'm still doing the same things I used to, you know. Same things, you know. But I'm just not smoking crack. I know that the disease of addiction lies in my thinking. Before I smoke it, shoot it, sniff it, or drink it, I got to think it first. I know I got a thinking problem, you know. And I know that, like, I'm still selling sneakers and DVDs and jeans and all that, but it's where I take myself when I do this. You know what I mean? So I got to stay on top of myself constantly. You know? The most important thing for me to do, I think, in the Narcotics Anonymous function, is establish a reputation for carrying the message, nothing more, nothing less, you know. It's funny because I moved back to Europe, and when I have relapsed, you know, in Europe, it reminds me of the 11 tradition, where it states we seek to energetically carry the message throughout our cities, towns, and villages, you know. And they used to stop, you know what I mean, pull over, put me in a car, take me to get something, ask me do I want to go to a meeting. And most addicts did the same shit. No, I don't want to go to no meeting. Can I get $10? Really, I don't want nothing to eat. Can I get $10? Because all I wanted to do was get high. You know what I mean? And they wouldn't do that. You know, they would give me cigarettes, give me something to eat. Ask me, do I want to come to a meeting? And then they babysitted me. They took me out Dover, some addicts, and babysitted me. And like the brother was reading earlier in the literature where it speaks about you could be prayed, reasoned with, beaten. But if you ain't ready to stop using, you ain't ready to stop using. So when they took me back to Europe, I used it. And I don't never ever want to use again. I don't never ever have to use again, you know. And that's what's important to me, you know, that I never have to use. Like I got into something like not really debates, but arguments this week with, you know, people, a brother in my sponsor family, and I apologize to him, you know. And what the brother was sharing about trusted leaders, you know, the trusted servants and all that. And I was supposed to share on the 10th tradition, you know, and I shared on the 10 steps. Me and my sponsor switched up. But, like, it's a lot to, like, it's running through my head about the 10th tradition, you know. And it's just like, because I got in an argument with an individual, and in the 10th tradition, it speaks about our leaders only trusted servants with no power to tell somebody what to do and think. We want you to voice your opinion as you see fit. And, like, I voiced my opinion, but I did the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Where I did it at, how I did it was wrong. You know? And I still feel, like, pain from what I did. And, like, in all reality, I wanted to collect this year. I didn't really want this year. But, like, I'm really feeling it. And, like, you know, I was sitting in the meeting and my sponsor was, you know, saying a couple of things to me. And I see the wrong, you know what I mean, that I've done, you know. And in the 10th tradition, I mean, in the 10th step, it speaks about promptly admitting. To admit to me means to confess or tell the truth, you know. So I apologize to the individual and the another individual about, like, certain things that I did. And I'm still kind of messed up about it. But I just want to end it with saying that an addict, any addict, to stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. I'm talking about the addict that's in the Walmart ceiling right now to get one more. The addict that's in the alley, you know. The addict that you ride and pass. You know, all we could do is just carry out message and tell them they never have to live like that again. You know. I'm tired. I was almost sleeping on the couch. I'm glad that I came 3 hours away. And I'm going to continue this process of recovery. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing.
I would like to introduce the second speaker, Fred. I don't know the name of his home group, but I also know he is from the Free At Last group of Narcotics Anonymous, located in York, Pennsylvania. And Fred will be speaking on the 10th tradition.
I'm a great recovering addict. My name is Fred.
Hey, Fred.
It's a good day to be clean. And in the atmosphere of recovery, it's always good to be in the atmosphere of recovery. I'm not used to these damn woods. I'm going to tell you no lie. I ain't used to these bugs and shit. That's just where I'm at. I'm tired, a little frustrated, a little confused. But I'm grateful to be here. I got to see my old sponsor, who I love dearly. So the trip was worth it, but I know the reason for that. I like what they call as, what is it, each one reach one? That's some wonderful shit. And I'm very graphic. I need to say that, especially when I'm tired, so anything might come out my mouth. I want to thank Rafiq for just willing to be in service. One of the things that occurred prior to getting here was that we weren't going to come. But we got a phone call and other people was canceling their commitments and we made one. So we found a way. We spent money that we didn't have. But we got here. And as a result of that, he was able to be in service. So I need to thank him for having the courage. It takes a lot of courage to sit in front of people and talk, you know. So I need to thank you for that. I'm grateful that your ass got busted. Okay. And maybe you'll practice what you were sharing about. And I love you. I am your sponsor. So that's not to hurt you. It's because I love you. So I'm going to qualify myself. I'm an addict to live, to use, and use to live. Before I got here, I was fucked up. At the end, I didn't want to live anymore. I'm not the addict that went to sleep. I'm the addict that fell out. Like, I would fall out, standing up, sitting down. It didn't matter. I would just fall out. My body would be wore out from the run. Some of y'all can relate. I don't talk a lot about chemicals because it really ain't important. And I share my experience, strength, and hope. I talk about me. You know, that's what I do best. My sponsor told me, if you talk about you, you can't go wrong. However, I am sharing on the traditions, which is closely connected to the group. But my experience is that it doesn't only, the spiritual principles only work in a group setting, right? The one, what is the 10th tradition? Is the one where I tell you we mind our damn business? Okay.
No opinion.
Yeah, right. Okay, I just got to be refreshed because my mind a little wobbly. You know, my body shut down at 8:30 because I work in a place where I have to be to work at 5:30 in the morning, which means I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning, which means it ain't a whole lot of rap after 8 o'clock at night, right? So my body kind of shuts down. And I know that the 10th tradition talks about Narcotics Anonymous minding their business. Like, we don't have no opinion on outside issues. And I think that the reason why that's so important is because when we in other people's business, we get what we get. Like, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about, all we talk about is staying clean. But staying clean must come first. And if our message was anything other than staying clean.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I can't.
If our message, if anything went on in Narcotics Anonymous other than our message, addicts would probably use and die. And the reason why I think the 10th tradition is vital is because it's so easy with us becoming so popular of a fellowship. This fellowship has grown tremendously. We are extremely popular. And people know that this shit works, bottom line. When you go to rehab, they send you to us. When you go to treatment, they send you to us. When you go to psychologists and psychiatrists and places like that, they send you to us. Even when you go to religious places, if you mention that you got a problem with drugs, they send you to us. So the reality is, they have come to understand that whatever we do works. So in that process, everybody wants a part or a piece of something that works. Like, for instance, when I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't understand how sitting in a room full of people talking about my problems or whatever it was y'all was talking about was going to help me get a day clean. I really didn't understand it because it's not a concept easily understood. But when you have a well-with ass like I did when I got here, utter desperation, and you come in and you realize that people use the same way you did, it wasn't a whole lot of rap. Like, I listen to people up here, and there's something about another addict. Like, people that don't use can't tell me what it feels like. Like, they can kind of tell me what they think that it feels like, but I know when a motherfucker shot some dope. Okay, I know when somebody smoked crack, because there's something about them that draws me to them. I know that they're talking about something that they live, not something that they read. Y'all follow me? When I got here, that was my attraction. My attraction was when people talked about crawling around on the floor looking for stuff that wasn't there and hiding in the bottom of closets from people who wasn't looking for them and jumping out second-story windows like an espionage spy. That kind of stuff. I can relate. Yeah, I can relate to that. Because I came here in high-heeled shoes, fishnet stockings, a tube top or a skirt. Okay, that's how I got here. Because I'm the addict that stood on the corner and waited for headlights. Prayed for headlights. You know, that's my story. Like, that was my hustle, selling meat. So when people told me what they did in order to get one, I knew them motherfuckers were just like me. But the piece was, as much as like me as they wasn't doing it anymore. And it became an attraction. Narcotics Anonymous is an attraction. We are an attraction to anybody whose business is people. Okay? And what happens is, if we start getting in other conversations about other stuff other than staying clean, then we kind of like distract from our message. And we might omit an addict. Now, I was listening to the speaker share tonight, and he was talking about some stuff that I agree with and some stuff that I don't. And like him, I talk about the fuck I feel. Okay, I come to an understanding of this program for myself. And sometimes that's why I say, there's many ways to recover as there are recovering addicts. I don't have to believe everything you believe, and you ain't got to believe everything I believe. However, I believe this, that if y'all didn't tell me that this wasn't a religious program, my ass wouldn't stay. See, when I got here, right, I didn't have a good relationship or working relationship with the God that I serve today. And a lot of the stuff that we do here, although appears to be like some other places, it was something different. And I needed something different because I had already tried the other shit. Like they prayed over me and me touching the TV screen and putting oil on my forehead. And I tried that. I tried the different towns and men, and I tried women, and I tried psychiatry. And I tried a whole lot of stuff that didn't work because the literature said that is not sufficient. Okay. So, I tried those things, but they didn't work for me. And if I had a thought that this was one of them places when I first got here, I wouldn't stay. Because I'd say, oh, I tried that shit already. Okay? So, it's important that we stick to our message. And the reason why, another reason why the 10th tradition for me is so vital is because Narcotics Anonymous has its own message. Okay? We have our own language. Right? And the reason why I believe that is because we need to be able to relate to each other when we talk about what we need to talk about to get another day clean. Now, we start inviting politics and religion and anything other than what we know, because if we don't know nothing else, we know how to stay clean. That's what the fuck we know. We know how to stay clean, and if you want, when we had an offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, we know how to help you get it. Okay? But if I tell you I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican, you might think you got to be a Democrat to be in this fellowship. Y'all following me? Like, it could be that simple. Like, the reality of it is that the reason why Narcotics Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues is because if we had opinions on outside issues, the possibility that an addict would die from our opinions is too much for us to try to do. We can't do that. Okay? Because an addict would die. And we don't do a whole lot of opinion, no way. I always share with my sponsors, don't ask the motherfucker what they think. Don't ask them, what's your opinion? Okay, I don't even want your goddamn opinion. Share with me your experience. What is Narcotics Anonymous experienced with? We are experienced with helping an addict get another day clean. That's what we got experience with. We ain't got experience with politics. We ain't got experience with religion. We ain't got experience with world views and all that shit. And even if we did, that's our personal opinion. We don't do that in Narcotics Anonymous. We mind our damn business. Okay, all we talk about is what we do. And we do that collectively because no one individual is a perfect recovering addict. How it affects me in my personal life is the same way it does Narcotics Anonymous. As a result of us not having opinions on outside issues, minding our business, our message stays pure. Okay? That means that the addict that haven't got here yet, when they get here, will get the same message that we got that worked. Okay? If it worked, why try to change it? Okay, the message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, find a new way of life. It's a message of hope and a promise of freedom. If we add or take anything away from that, somebody could possibly die. Okay, and if we allow outside entities to come in, then eventually they will try to make some shit up. Like, we meet at churches, I agree. We be in the basement of churches, but that don't mean that whoever run that church can come in our meeting and do what they want to do. That's why we pay rent, okay? Our traditions are vital because what it does is it allows us to stay safe from ourselves. Because a lot of us, a lot of us don't have the ability to make good decisions regularly. So our traditions protect us from having to make any fucking decisions. Don't make none. Just follow the traditions, okay? For instance, the home group that I'm a proud member of today, the church that we have our meeting in, they wanted to allow us not to pay rent. They thought we did such a wonderful job cleaning up the facility, and we're such wonderful people, and they're going to let us just meet there. So we said, well, we are having a little bit of trouble, right, paying a rent and getting as much literature, and we could probably get more literature, and that would help carry the message better. Because we would have more literature. See, that's why we don't think. Because that's some crazy shit. Okay? Because the minute we stop paying rent, then that gives that person an opportunity to bring their shit into our meeting. And once they come into our meeting, yeah, it's automatically a violation. But on top of that, because we're violating, we're going to open the door for outside issues, outside opinion, outside information, some shit that we ain't got. Now they want to stand in the back of the meeting and sell us some of their shit on the way out. Or now they want to stand in the back of the meeting and give us some of their literature versus our literature. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't live like that. My personal life, and I share this all the time, how I work the 10 tradition is because I don't know what goes on in other people's lives. My sponsor was just talking about a situation that he was going through, and one of the things I explained to him is, I'm not the addict that people call and tell what's going on. If y'all understand, I don't know who fucking who in Narcotics Anonymous. I really don't care who fucking who. Seriously. I don't know who talking about who. I don't know nothing. If it ain't got nothing to do with me, I don't know. And people don't call me because when they do, they generally feel pissed off at me when they get off the phone. One of the reasons why is because I understand that if I'm doing anything outside what I need to do for me, if I'm involved in your shit, it's going to cause conflict. Like, I don't really have to say a whole lot. I was just sharing with my sponsor, well, the guy that used to sponsor me, I still call him my sponsor, how just by talking on the phone to somebody about an incident that occurred in Narcotics Anonymous, I made a remark, and they heard one thing. You know how somebody hears something? You said something else. But they heard something else. So by the time you hear it again, is completely different than what you said. Now, I got four or five sponsees, right, that heard they sponsored and said something about them. Okay? Now, the problem with that is this. First of all, that's insane. Second of all, sponsorship is the heart of the program, like the speaker was talking about earlier. Right? So if it's the heart, that means that when a heart beats, it's because I am carrying a message to my sponsors and they're carrying it back, the therapeutic value. However, if trust is violated in that process, right, then we lose that connection. You understand what I'm talking about? So, how it works in my personal life. I don't want to know what nobody's doing. Even when it comes to my sponsees, I'm not the sponsor that says, stay out of a relationship, okay? I don't say what the literature don't say that. It says that they could be terribly painful areas, okay? You are responsible for your recovery, which means if you decide to get in a fucking relationship and she cop and you cop with her, you made the decision, okay? My thing is, when you call me, don't talk to me about her, because that's not my responsibility. My responsibility, bitch, is you. What are you doing? You understand? This is how I don't do the outside opinion stuff. This is how I mind my business, right? Because if something jump off with them, I ain't got nothing to do with that. However, when I take on the responsibility of sponsoring you, you are my responsibility. That's not an outside issue. Y'all feel me? Like, I don't want to know who doing who, because anything anybody is capable of doing in Narcotics Anonymous, if I haven't done it, I probably will. And what I understand today about judging somebody about what they're doing is, generally, that's the same person God made me go to ask, how the fuck did you stop doing that when it's time to stop? Okay? It's a whole lot of reasons why I don't do what I do, but generally, it comes from the traditions. Right? I understand that the only thing I need to worry about, there's only a couple of things in Narcotics Anonymous I need to worry about. One, first of all, is staying clean. It must come first. Second is keeping my spirit intact. Okay? Third, I got enough shit. I don't need nobody else's stuff but mine. Okay? If I'm worried about somebody else's stuff, I'm going to miss what I need to see and how it plays to the 10th step for me. The inventory step, right, is because when you hurt somebody, it's generally because you're doing something you ain't got no business, right? And when you're doing something you ain't got no business, it's generally because you're in somebody else's business. Because if I'm minding my own business, I can't hurt a lot of people, if y'all understand what I'm talking about. But when I step outside of my business, right, then I'm in somebody else's business, and I know that I'm causing harm to that person. How the 10th step helps is because I immediately recognize harm. See, the reason why I did steps 1 through 9 is because I don't want to live like that no more. Okay? For real. And by the time I get to the 9th step, the steps have changed me so much that I don't want to cause harm to people. Right? How do I mind? How do I not cause harm? Minding my damn business. For real. I got a call all the day. Somebody called me and was about to tell me, about to tell me some shit about my sponsor. Now, how you gonna call me and tell me some shit about my sponsor? And my sponsor didn't call me and tell me some shit about him, right? And he would do that if it was going to affect my recovery. There's only one thing I expect my sponsor to call and tell me. Okay? I relapse. Anything else, he ain't got to tell me. I don't want to know. You feel me? Because it ain't my business. But anything other than that, then I don't really want to hear about it. So now for somebody else to call me and say, well, you know, your sponsor said this, that, and that about you. You know what I did? I simply said, check this out. That's my sponsor, not yours. Okay? Bottom line. I said, and I love and respect my sponsor, and whatever he said, if he said it, then he'll say it to me. Okay? Because this is the way I answer. Same thing with Narcotics Anonymous and outside opinions, right? If somebody is telling me something that somebody else said, that's an outside opinion. That's an outside issue. I'm not interested in that. Okay? Narcotics Anonymous, the program has taught me that I have enough shit going on with me that I ain't need to worry about nobody else. I'm telling you, when I talk about me honestly because I understand today that if I don't do me, if I'm trying to do somebody else, I ain't got time to do me. And if I'm not doing me, then I'm just about to do something I ain't got no business doing. You know, and Narcotics Anonymous is the same way. We don't have no opinions on outside issues. It's vital that we keep our messages clear, simple. Simplicity is the key. Clear, simple as possible. The reality of it is because sometimes that doesn't happen, addicts leave Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to share this because it's my reality. I do a lot of work in treatment fields, okay? And oftentimes I'm talking to members that could possibly be and should possibly be members of Narcotics Anonymous. But they're not members of Narcotics Anonymous. They're members of another 12-step program, right? And a lot of times I ask them, well, if you did what I did, you know, not to put the other fellowship down, right? But you're not even getting honest if you're walking in there calling yourself anything other than an addict. But you're an addict, right? So you got to lie just to go there. But I need to know why, right? What is it about our fellowship, you understand, that keeps you from wanting to be in a place that you belong so bad? And what I understand is because although Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, other people do. And they bring them to Narcotics Anonymous. And the newcomer don't know the difference between Narcotics Anonymous and other people's opinions. So what happens is our message is blurred. Okay? And when our message gets blurred, addicts die. Why? Because they go somewhere else, right? And where they go, they don't deal with the disease of addiction. They deal with the chemical. Okay? But the chemical ain't never been just enough for us. Okay? Because in our literature, it talks about staying clean must come first, which implies that something comes after. What is the after? The recovery piece. We understand that a chemical is just 10% of the problem. The rest of it is the disease of addiction that we have. So when I talk to them and they share with me some of the stuff that they heard in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, one of the things I do immediately is tell them Narcotics Anonymous ain't interested in that. Because we're not. Mm-hmm. Okay? All we want to know is what's your problem and how we can help. That's it. It's really that simple. Like, if we got involved in anything else, we would run people out of our fellowship. And the reality of it is, the sad part is, that even though our traditions tell us we ain't got no opinions on anything else, our members sometimes don't know that. So they bring their opinions to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and their opinions affect members that come to our meetings. And what happens after that is, they go somewhere else, and you can't stay clean. If we could stay clean there, they wouldn't have made this place for us. That's the bottom line. So at some point, even if they stay clean and whatever the other word is that they use for clean time, right, you know, even if they stay there for years, at some point they still don't get what they need to live happy, joyous, and free. Because that never comes from the work that they do there, because they don't feel like they need to do that work there. But we know that we need to do it here. You know, so I love the traditions. You know, the traditions is why I'm in this meeting right now, to be honest with you. Because I understand the only way that I can keep what I have is by giving it away. I understand that my personal recovery depends on any unity. I understand that this is an anonymous program and there's no big eyes or little U's. I was talking to my friend Reggie and he was talking about how he go wherever he's called to go. Like, it's not important how many people in the meeting. It's not even important if the meeting is on the inside. Ain't that some shit? Right? Because I just finished talking about how I ain't sharing the fuck outside. I ain't doing it. Shit, I be sharing a fucking bug fly in my mouth, right? Look, I ain't no country girl. I don't need to tell you. I just not. Okay? I don't do trees, bugs, and wild animals. Okay? I just don't. But if he had asked me, if he had said it was outside, I would be outside sharing, okay? Because it ain't about when I'm sharing, it's about what I'm sharing about, okay? And it ain't even about who's in the meeting, because like the speaker said tonight, you don't come for everybody, you come for somebody. And what I've learned is that the somebody may be me. Okay? It don't even have to be anybody in the room. There have been often times that I've stood at a table and shared my experience, strength, and hope, and heard myself say some shit that I need to get better with. You hear me? Because that's how it works. I only know I'm fucked up sometimes till I get up here. And then I start talking about some shit and realize, right, because you can learn some stuff. But to learn it and to practice it is two different things. Okay? And when you share it from here, you convict yourself. Okay? Mm. You recognize that if you don't practice this shit, you're going to feel fucked up. Okay? And then you're in a bunch of confusion. And you got to get your spirit back right. Right? You'll be humble or you'll be humiliated. You feel me? So a lot of times when I'm doing this, it really don't matter to me today because I've been, let me share this and I'm gonna be quiet. I came around here, stayed for 8 years. I was just talking about it. If I had not used, I would probably be crazy still, but at least I would have 14, 15 years clean. However, I did use, and I have 5 years today. And in October, if it's God willing, I live and don't smoke, I'll have 6. But my point is this. When I was here the first time, I had it confused. Okay? There was a lot of stuff that I did then that I don't do now. And I think the reason why the traditions are so vital to me now, even though they were important to me then, they're vital to me now because I understand the personal meaning behind that stuff. Like, I need all 24 spiritual principles. And I even need the ones that they added. Okay? Because our symbol talks about 24. Okay? It talks about service and society on one side, which is the traditions, what I'm talking about now. And then it talks about self and God on the other, which is the 12 traditions. So in order to be a well-rounded, steps. So in order to be a well-rounded recovering addict, I need 12 steps and 12 traditions. And now we have concepts. So as I continue to move forward in my recovery, I want to continue to grow spiritually in my recovery. That means practicing more shit, not just talking about it, but living it. And I understand that if I can't share here in the woods, shit, right, with bugs and shit that I'm squatting while I'm talking, right, that it's just important to share here as it is in any convention, you know, that I might get invited to or anything else. Because it ain't about where you at. It's like, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for you? You know, are you doing it for God? Who are you sharing for? You know, and if you're sharing for you, like I used to do, you might get a whole lot of oohs and ahs and applause and all that shit, but the chances of copying is more likely. Okay, when you share for God, it's because you're trying to practice something, the chances of using it is least likely. I like them better. I like them all. It's the least likely. Okay, because using ain't no joke. Did he just... Okay, so... I'm tired, okay? I'm gonna leave it outside, trust me. But I am really glad to be here. I have seen some friends that I haven't seen in a while. And I've seen some friends that I just seen. Bust my ass. I'm ready. And I met some new friends, you know. And that's what it's all about. It's about fellowshipping. You know, I've never been to this area, but I'm sure I'll be back. You know, I like areas that are like this, if you understand what I mean. I don't want to go nowhere where I like areas like this. So I'm grateful to be clean, grateful to be in a meeting, and I'm going to end with that if you're new in Narcotics Anonymous, welcome. Keep coming back. Don't matter what you use, how much you use, don't matter who your connection were, don't care nothing about none of that. What we do care about is what's your problem, how can we help? Don't cheat yourself. Give yourself a break. Don't come in here and just stay clean. Get a sponsor and learn about the 12 steps and the 12 traditions because you can be clean and miserable or you can be clean and recovering and happy, joyous, and free. The choice is really up to you. You just got to choose what you want. And today I choose life. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. I would like to thank the speakers for sharing.